This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is now somebody who's been there on the front lines of the Trump campaign. He certainly knows very, very much about presidential races. Joining us now is former President Trump's 2024 campaign communications director, Tim Murtaugh, who is also the author of a powerful new book, which just came out a few hours ago. It is a blockbuster book, and you got to read it. It is called Swing Hard, In Case You Miss It: My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. And boy, is it revealing and inspiring on so many levels, too. Tim, really great to have you here on the Rita Cosby Show.
Rita, wow. What an introduction. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so proud of you, Tim. And Tim, let's first get to the presidential race. What do you make of RFK's statements? Here it is. It's a Kennedy, obviously, long lineage of Democrats. And he is saying that Joe Biden is the biggest threat to democracy right now.
Well, he's right. You know, I mean, I got to say, I think RFK is a pretty impressive guy if you listen to him talk. I do not think that there's a whole lot for Republicans to like about his candidacy. I mean, he is really out there. He is an environmental extremist, far left, Green New Deal type of guy. And I don't think Republicans really want too much to do with him. But there's a lot for disaffected Democrats to look at. And I think when he's making the accusation that Joe Biden is actually a bigger threat to the democracy than anybody else today, I think he's actually right. I mean, if you think about it, censoring any random American whose views that he didn't like on social media about COVID, on Facebook, on Twitter, working with them, putting pressure on and actually badgering the social media companies into censoring American citizens. That's a threat to democracy. That's undermining the First Amendment, controlling people, what people are allowed to say about COVID, trying to put his political opponent in jail, meaning President Trump, trying to have him removed from the ballot in various states. Heck, at the DNC, they have a team going on and working on inside the DNC. Their job is to attack third-party candidates like RFK Jr. to deny people a chance to vote for candidates of their choice. All of these things are assaults on democracy, using the IRS to go after political opponents, all kinds of stuff. And so I think RFK is right on that point, yes.
You know, Tim, you talked about sort of the lawfare against President Trump. Are you amazed how much incoming he is taking? And it seems like at every turn, you look at even the New York civil case, he gets whopped with the $454 million judgment. Luckily, that got reduced to still $175 million, which is a lot of money still, but it got reduced. At least it's there. Now he can appeal it. But it is an incredible moment. It's like they are in such a rush to try to do anything they can to have some sort of case. It looks like maybe this criminal case may come up. The so-called hush money case may come up very soon. But who knows? But they're desperate to try to get some case, try to get some conviction, it seems like, from a criminal perspective, before the election. They waited all this time, and now suddenly it's like the first time in American history you're going to go after a former president in a criminal case like he is, and it's this case of all things.
Yeah, I mean, first, I think when you're talking about all these different, all the lawfare stuff and the what started out as 91 different felony charges, just take a step back and ask yourself, would any of this be happening if Donald Trump were not running for president again? And once you arrive at the obvious answer of no, of course it wouldn't be happening if he weren't running for president again, then that reveals that all of it is strictly political. That's all that it ever was. Even Democrats, if they're being honest with you, would tell you that if he weren't running for president a second time or a third time, really, if he weren't running, they wouldn't have brought all these cases. They're manufacturing it because they can't beat him. They're afraid that the American people will elect him again, and they want to take the – speaking about another threat to democracy, there you have another one. They don't want Americans to have even the option of voting for the candidate of their choice. And we know that there are tens of millions of people who want to vote for Donald Trump. So there's another point for RFK being right about what a threat to democracy Biden is. And it exposes their lawfare for what it is, which is just another assault on democracy. It's election interference.
How big of an issue do you believe border and crime in particular are going to be? I mean, it was interesting. Trump used the expression, it's Biden's border bloodbath today. Yeah. That seems to be the line. What do you make of that?
Oh, that's just the best, because a couple of weeks ago, the media was all over him because he said that under Biden, there'll be a bloodbath in the car industry. And he was talking about the economy, but the media freaked out and said, oh, he's talking about political violence, which was nonsense. And everybody can see that on his face. So I love the fact that he went back to the word bloodbath and just injected it again, because he knows it'll drive the media nuts. And then they'll have to cover, this is the game he plays, they'll have to cover the issue that he's talking about, which is Biden's border chaos, just the absolute disaster that the border is. It is absolutely the number one issue on voters' minds. I have seen a lot of polling, a lot of public polling, internal polling from different campaigns. It is absolutely the top issue. It is a disaster. Biden took what was a secure border and broke it and ripped it open, and he did it on purpose. He campaigned on doing it. He promised he was going to do the things that he did to the border, and now it's backfired on him, and he wants to try to find someone else to blame. Trump is such an effective communicator. That soundbite that you played at the beginning of this conversation, so good by him. It describes it perfectly. It lays it right at Joe Biden's feet. And you know the Democrats hate it when Donald Trump is able to cut straight to the core issue. And it is crystal clear what his message is and who the target is and who has done something wrong in this. He's such an effective communicator. This is going to be a very, very, very serious issue. And it's one that benefits Donald Trump.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Yeah, I agree. And everybody, we are talking to Tim Murtaugh, who was Trump's 2020 campaign communications director. Tim, you also just came out with a powerful book, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Also Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. Your life story is amazing. And, you know, I knew you from what you were doing, obviously, on the campaign. But when I hear about your backstory, it is courageous. It's remarkable. I think it's so inspiring. In 4 years' time, you thought you were about to go into prison. You go from there to Air Force One. Explain how you made the transition. That's remarkable.
Well, I mean, thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk about this. Yeah, Swing Hard, in Case You Hit It. It just came out today, and it's available on Amazon or at Target or Barnes & Noble, anywhere else you get books. And it's about two things, really. One, it's about politics. There are a lot of stories from inside the 2020 campaign that no one's ever heard before outside the campaign. But it's also about my decades-long struggle with alcohol, which I finally did manage to prevail over on May 16th, 2015. That's the date of my last drink. And I woke up in jail that day. I was on probation for my second of two DUIs, and I got arrested for a drunken public charge or something like that. And I knew that I had served 10 days of the second DUI, but I was still on probation for the second one. I had 80 days of my sentence hanging over my head. And if I got convicted of that drunken public charge, I was going to go to jail for almost 3 months. And I was going to lose everything. I was going to lose my job on Capitol Hill. I was going to lose my career. Forget about
it. By the way, if it happened in New York, you would have been out in 5 seconds.
maybe so, yeah. So I really want people to read the book, but it's some people in Alcoholics Anonymous call it the drunkalogue. It's so half of the book is about politics, and the other half is my story of how I fought through and finally managed to get sober after decades of drinking. And I'm coming up on 9 years since my last drink. And so it's not a how-to manual of how to get sober. Those things really don't exist. It's just a story of how I managed to make it through. And if people can take some examples from that and relate it to their own lives, and if it helps one person, that's the reason why I wrote it. When I was in rehab multiple times, I would go to the bookstore and I would just devour all the titles that were autobiographical, people telling their stories. And that's what I wanted to write. And if it helps one person, if they pick it up and they flip through it for 5 minutes and don't drink during those 5 minutes, then it was worth writing it. And that's why I did it.
Wow. Bravo. And you have two little boys, right? You also said, you know, wait a minute, I want my family also to not know you as someone who drank. It sounds like your boys will never know that, right? Because they're young.
They're I have two boys who are 5 and 7, and they have never seen their father take a drink. And their mother, my wife, she saved my life. Without her, I would either be in jail or dead. There's no question of that. And I think I would like for my boys to read this book when they're old enough, you know, in a few years maybe, because I think it's a tale of caution. You know, the alcoholism is hereditary, and I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who say that they themselves either have had a problem, or a close relative or very close friends. I mean, it's almost a universal problem. And this is why, you know, when I talk about Hunter Biden and all of the crimes that I believe that Hunter Biden has committed, and the corruption that goes on between him and his father and the whole Biden family, those kinds of things are fair game. And I've been very critical of Hunter Biden, but I've been very careful never to criticize him for the fact that he is an addict, because I understand what he goes through with that. I also understand how it affects the family. And so I do feel for Joe Biden and the rest of the Biden family to have an addict there involved, because, you know, I was that addict doing that to my family. So I get it.
Wow, what a powerful message. By the way, before I let you go, Tim, what was the most surprising thing? Give us everybody a tease in your book about the Trump campaign, too, of what sort of a fun story, or give us a tease of what maybe one of the most interesting nuggets.
Okay, well, I don't know how fun this story is, but it was a week before Christmas in 2019, and we were at a rally in Battle Creek, Michigan. And while President Trump was up on stage giving his speech back in Washington at the exact same time, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats were impeaching President Trump for the first time. That was the first impeachment. And so that was December 18th of 2019, and I was standing backstage with next to the vice president, Mike Pence, who was also there at the rally, watching the television while President Trump was impeached by the House, while he was on the other side of the black curtain giving a speech to 8,000 or 9,000 people. And it was just a surreal moment to be there. And the funny part is that at that time, we thought that impeachment was going to be like the defining issue of the whole campaign. We didn't know what COVID was going to be. We didn't know there was going to be a second impeachment. We didn't know all of that stuff. And so, you know, there we were more than a year before Election Day, or like 11 months from Election Day. And we thought that was going to be the big moment. And man, by the end of it, no one even talked about that one anymore.
Yeah, isn't it funny that now that's just sort of a little blip? Well, you had a front row seat to history. You work with some of the biggest players in the political business, but you overcame one of the most, I think, extraordinary personal fights. And bravo to you. What a great role model you are to your young boy and also so many other people. Everybody, get this awesome book. You get behind the scenes, of course, of the Trump campaign, and also a remarkably inspiring story of someone who overcame and is a great role model to so many people. It's called Swing Hard In Case You Hit It by the great Tim Murtaugh. Tim, congrats, my friend.
Rita, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'd love to come and join you on the show in the studio one time. That would be great.
Yeah, let us know when you're in New York anytime. That would be great.
Okay.
That's a deal. That's a deal. Congrats on the book, my friend. Thanks so much.